this is a microphone. In my hands, it's a pipe bomb.
I have a dream, that's all I need. I'll make it happen with some work and belief. Know what I want, so I'll take it on.
Man, is Cody and Shinsuke finally done? I can't do any more of it. I really can't. I really thought that WWE was gonna have Shinsuke fucking Nakamura win against fucking Cody Rhodes. And then I would have fucking lost it. But welcome everybody to Pardon the Pipe Bomb, your official host, Flamio, here. It is February 5th, 2024. Monday Night Raw happened. I'll get into that in a second, but we got to talk about everything that happened on Monday Night Raw. And at the very beginning, you saw paper posters, just like, you know, like little printing paper of a big font saying hashtag we want Cody, or just we want Cody. Now, when I said that we're all being worked, maybe WWE, them teasing to us that it's going to be The Rock and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, maybe that's them sliding on ice and now they're just steering into it, steering into their fucking mistake that they did and turning this into a shoot or turning it into a work. I thought maybe, you know, they were working us and it was all a plan. Maybe that's still the case. Maybe that was the plan all along, with everybody tweeting out just a day after Friday Night SmackDown, having them say, hey, trust the process. Hey, trust the long game in this. I know y'all are passionate, but you got to trust it. And this is after when, like, apparently The Rock's daughter is getting death threats, which is fucking totally uncalled for. That's your typical WWE fan who has nothing better to do, who's maybe a 15 or 16 year old high schooler and has nothing better to do than sit behind a fucking computer or sit behind a fucking phone and just tweet away about that shit. Sick. Anyway, Monday Night Raw started off with, of course, Seth Rollins. And I saw the pyro being, you know, laid out across the stage, and I knew Cody Rhodes was going to be coming out, and I knew that we weren't going to be getting our answer. WWE, they're going to prolong this all the way up until possibly the last week, maybe 2 weeks before WrestleMania. I mean, I have my theories, my friend has his theory, and a lot of other people have their theories on what could happen for the main event at WrestleMania. Which, by the way, I am going to be hosting a live event. That is, if I'm not working, a live event on Thursday for the press conference. And I'm going to be doing a live broadcasting reaction show. So if y'all are interested in that, leave a comment down below if you think I should be doing that. Like, if you think that maybe you'll pop in to say hello. Who knows? Then maybe I can interact with all of you guys. But other than that, let's start off the fucking... I'm going to do my highs and lows of WWE Raw and just tell you how I feel about it. I mean, we have my high points of the fucking show. It's Gunther. Who else? Cody Rhodes, obviously, coming out at the beginning. Drew McIntyre, Sami Zayn, and, well, yeah, Jey Uso, who's a part of Gunther. So let's start off with this. I know y'all want me to talk about the first task about Monday Night Raw, and hopefully we can put fucking Shinsuke Nakamura and Cody Rhodes feud to bed. I think I heard chants inside the arena saying, this sucks. I know the crowd wasn't into it. The crowd wasn't into a lot of the matches, let me tell you that. And I'll give you a little hint. It involves the Women's Tag Team Championships. and also another tag team that was a mixed tag team match. I'm just saying they need to call up some more NXT stars, because some of these stars that are on the main roster right now have no business being in that ring. Maybe Triple H is just saying, hey, I'm going to give you every opportunity to prove yourself. I think you've given a couple of these female superstars enough opportunities. That's just my humble opinion. Getting off topic here. Seth Rollins, he comes out at the beginning of Monday Night Raw to kick off the show, right? Him just saying, you know, I'm just as confused as everybody else is. So all of you want to see Cody. I want to see Cody. Let's bring him on out here. So eventually Cody does. He does his long entrance, whatever. And Seth Rollins is asking what all of us is asking, but he couldn't even get a word out because fans were just chanting what they wanted to chant and kind of, you know, voicing everybody's opinion on social media. I mean, the fans were chanting Rocky sucks during the Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins segment. I mean, the negative fan reactions are not dying down anytime soon. And, you know, the fans, they made it perfectly clear. And I thought the St. Louis crowd was, you know, decent. Nothing great, but they definitely showed and made our voices heard. But like I said, Seth Rollins, he kicked off a Monday Night Raw, called out Cody Rhodes to find out who he would accept his WrestleMania challenge. And the fans booed when Rollins mentioned The Rock and during his promo. Even on commentary, Michael Cole and Pat McAfee were referenced the We Want Cody, hashtag We Want Cody. And, you know, it was trending on fucking X for the last 72 hours. And I think everybody knows why. It's like, unless if you were hiding underneath a rock, then I'm only going to explain that. But I think everybody who is listening to this podcast really does know why. Cody, he did went out in the ring and heard the Rocky sucks chants as they broke out. And when he got into the ring, the announcers acknowledged Michael Cole. And he asked, is this 1996 again? That was not a red flag, but it brought up some eyebrows. No pun intended there. Are we possibly going to be getting Hollywood Rock? Are we going to get heel Rock? I think the only way to save this is to have my theory. I'll get to that in a second after when I read this. And possibly have The Rock turn heel. I mean, you were seeing signs on TV and the TV cameras of WWE, they were acknowledging the signs. They were acknowledging the commentary and the hashtag that Cody has been trending all week. So I'll say it again. Are we being worked, or is WWE only steering into the ice skid because they almost fucked up a main event and shot themselves in the foot, as JD from NY would say? But it's perfectly clear that I think WWE now is trying to retrace their steps back and try to fix the main event that they were so-called trying to save WrestleMania. I mean, it's definitely clear now that WWE is running with it, and it looks like this will be turned into a storyline. Even if it is a work, or even if they're trying to save their sorry asses, it's definitely going to be a storyline now. And in my opinion, it's the only way to fucking save it. Because like the great one said, WWE almost shot themselves in the foot. And this is probably going to be turned out to be probably way bigger than the Daniel Bryan storyline back in WrestleMania 30. Now, before I get into my theory of what I think should happen and possible scenarios, because definitely we got one thing that is definitely clear after this Monday Night Raw. They're definitely going to run this as a storyline aspect of it now. Cody Rhodes did not say or confirm that he will face Seth Rollins. Drew McIntyre made that for damn sure. Hell, Drew McIntyre came out on the segment to kick off Monday Night Raw. He was saying all this kind of stuff, trying to convince Cody Rhodes, you know, man, you got to finish your story. Kind of being like an asshole. I was loving it a little bit. I love heel Drew McIntyre. He was saying all these things, just egging on, like, what would your father want? Your father would want you to face Roman Reigns, is basically what Drew McIntyre was saying. And he also said this, you know what happens in Roman's matches? No one wants to fight Roman's title anymore because they know the ending. His family is going to interfere every single time. And I mean, Drew McIntyre was making good points. He's not wrong. But then after when he said that, but Cody, you've got to finish your story. Just trying to get Cody Rhodes to go off and just still try to make his story get finished so that he can have Seth Rollins all to himself. That's his game plan. And then at the end of the night, you saw that finally, hope to God, that the Shinsuke Nakamura and Cody Rhodes story is all but finished. Drew McIntyre came out at the end of the match and gave a Claymore kick to Cody Rhodes, with Cody Rhodes down on the ground and Drew McIntyre standing up tall with the camera conveniently laying down with them two and the WrestleMania logo in the back. So I think it's all but confirmed that Drew McIntyre will probably be either facing off against Cody Rhodes or they will have a triple threat match. And speaking of that, with a triple threat match, my theory is, you know, something along the lines like this. As the Joker would say, let's wind the clocks back. All right? Let's wind them back all the way back in 2004. What I'm seeing all over Twitter is Cody Rhodes is now going to be like Daniel Bryan back in 2014. No, he's not. The huge difference is that Daniel Bryan didn't win the men's Royal Rumble. Cody Rhodes won the men's Royal Rumble. Let's get that straight, guys. Two totally different scenarios here. Let's get that out of the fucking door. Throw it out the window. What we should have a connection with is back in 2004, WrestleMania 20, Chris Benoit winning the 2004 Men's Royal Rumble. And I just watched a little documentary. Well, not a documentary, but a little highlight clip. It's on YouTube somewhere. I'll put it down in my my description box or down in the comments down below. But it went something along the lines like this. I don't know how old anybody is who's listening to this, but the Chris Benoit story with Shawn Michaels and Triple H, it was my second, but really my first WrestleMania that I ever seen. And it was a special one. Very happy about that. Chris Benoit won the men's Royal Rumble match. But Shawn Michaels and Triple H had a last man standing match at Royal Rumble. It ended in a draw. There was no winner. And back in the day, him and Shawn Michaels had a feud that was nothing like anything else. And Shawn Michaels was basically saying, I want another title opportunity against Triple H. And Stone Cold Steve Austin, who is the GM at the time, him and Eric Bischoff, Stone Cold said, you know what? You're absolutely right. You do deserve another shot at the title. But unfortunately, somebody else is going to be getting that opportunity. And that man is the winner of the men's Royal Rumble match. Out comes Chris Benoit. So think of Chris Benoit like Cody Rhodes. And think of Shawn Michaels like The Rock. Shawn Michaels and The Rock, they're two totally different guys. Like, if you know what story that I'm telling, two totally different scenarios, but hear me out. You have them feuding and everyone making their case. Who's going to be facing Triple H at WrestleMania? They don't know. It goes back and forth. Then they have a contract signing, maybe 2 weeks beforehand, with Roman Reigns and The Rock. Now, I fast forward. The Rock and Roman Reigns, they do their little verbal segment and their little promo. They go back and forth. Roman Reigns, he signs the contract. And The Rock looks like he's about to sign the contract, but he goes on and then says, "You know what? I thought you were smarter than that. You should have read everything in between the lines before you signed that contract." And then, you know what? Out comes Cody Rhodes. And then he comes, signs the contract, and leaves. And then The Rock does his little segment, signs the contract, and then boom. We have our triple threat main event for night two at WrestleMania. Both sides are happy. I already said this before. You can't just delete The Rock from main event WrestleMania anymore. You already made your bed with that. So now you have to sleep with it. And it's the only way that you can fix it. So now WWE is steering in the ice from their mistake. And hope to God that Jesus takes the wheel. And everything turns out to be okay. And I'm not the only one that has a theory on this. My main man, Cal, he gave me a couple pointers of what he thinks could happen at WrestleMania. I was going to say it, but I don't want to have any of this. I want to have him to have all the credit. So here's Cal, what he sent me on my phone.
All right, so my theory, right? And bear with me. You got to hang on till the end. And it's already starting. Okay? I told you, I'm full 100% on board with the triple threat between Cody, Roman, and The Rock. Okay? It's happening. And then Cody is going to win. He's going to beat the entire Bloodline family and take everything. Just like he said. Right? And then, just like Roman, our tribal chief, your tribal chief, said, it's going to get snatched away from him again, just like it did his daddy. Unfortunately, it's not going to be Roman or The Rock that does it. I call for a WrestleMania Damian Priest cash-in at the very fucking end. And then that's how the story continues. This is cinema, brother. Just like they said, cinema.
Now, me and Cal, we tend to disagree and agree. Well, we disagree more than we agree. And my brother, this one's no different. I highly disagree with you. One thing that Cody doesn't have to do, and I have seen this all over Twitter as well, Cody doesn't have to prove himself to be in the main event. He already did that with the Royal Rumble. I think that everyone keeps forgetting that. He shouldn't have a qualifying match or anything like that. He shouldn't have to go up against Solo Sikoa. He shouldn't have to go up against Jimmy Uso. He shouldn't have to go up against someone who is going to be new to the fucking Bloodline family. He has already proven that he earned a main event slot at WrestleMania. I have some people on Twitter that are even saying that WWE will come out and say that there are no specific time that a Royal Rumble winner can cash in his ticket for a main event spot. The fuck you mean? What the fuck do you mean? It says it at the end of every fucking Royal Rumble match. Winner gets the headline WrestleMania. Come on, man. I can't believe what I hear on social media about this shit. The only logical way that WWE has now steered themselves into is that now they need to somehow figure out a way to get Cody Rhodes into the match. Because right now, The Rock and Roman Reigns is solidified. That's done. That's set in stone. There's no turning back now. Now they have to figure out a way that makes sense to have Cody Rhodes into the match. And me, like I said, triple threat match. That's the only way to do it. And then, but again, if the story is continuing, maybe there is a triple threat match with Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, and Sami Zayn. Because it would protect Seth Rollins, because we know that Seth Rollins is not going to be 100% come WrestleMania. So a triple threat match for that aspect does make sense. I'll get back to that in a bit about Sami Zayn and Drew McIntyre here. But back to the Cody Rhodes, the other alternative that you could do is, again, night one, Rock and Roman. Night two, Cody Rhodes versus not 100% Roman Reigns. Cody Rhodes wins the title and finishes his story and takes everything away from Roman Reigns. And he'll get set off into the sunset and he will be the next ex-WWE superstar turned Hollywood. I rest my case with that. That is my theory and I'm going to stick to it. One thing that I really want to talk about also about Monday Night Raw, the very highs of the high, or the highest of the highs, is the tag team division. DIY versus Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. It is official. That's going to be happening this Friday on SmackDown, and the winner faces the Judgment Day at Elimination Chamber Premium Live event for the Undisputed Tag Team Champions. One thing, and man, this was a fantastic match. A Fatal 4-Way Tag Team match. Whew! I thought SmackDown's was good, but goddamn, this one blew it out of the water. DIY looked strong. That other team, I forget, the Creed Brothers, they look strong. I like them a lot. Not a real big fan of Imperium. Don't know why. Maybe it's the dude's face. I really can't stand his face. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the fucking mustache. I don't know. Comment down below if you fucking agree with me. I mean, the New Day is the New Day. It was just all around a good tag team match. I'm really glad to see that Triple H is taking under his wing and revitalizing the tag team division that was once the biggest sore eye in WWE. But nothing is compared to the women's tag team. Oh my God. I'll get back to that when I'm on the fucking lows. I mean, just because Jesus Christ. But speaking of Imperium, they celebrated Gunther's 600-day reign as Intercontinental Champion. And as Gunther was stroking his ego and all that, he was saying, "Who is going to challenge me now?" Out comes Jey Uso. And man, like, I'm not hating on him. I like Jey Uso. Not a real big fan of his persona on TV, but dude, he grabs the crowd's attention. And just like the "what" chants, Jey Uso has the "yeet" chant, and which is really simple. It's like the "yes" movement, the "what," now it's the "yeet." fans can definitely get behind that and do that little hand gesture that everybody does. And Pat McAfee was right. When you hear his song, you just want to just get up and just fucking, like, you get hyped. Jey Uso is the ultimate hype man, in my opinion. Is he ready for the big event, the main event? I think so. I think him and Gunther could have a great match. Gunther, though, on the other hand, he had a lot of other things to say. Let me grab this segment that happened on Monday Night Raw here. Main event, Jey Uso makes his way to the ring, and Jey Uso comes out to a huge ovation and has the crowd and Pat McAfee, of course, bouncing their arms up and down. And Imperium does not look impressed at all, and Jey says, main event, what the fuck? Jey Uso is now in your city. Gunther says he gets it and mocks the gesture, and Gunther says it's a simple gesture for a simple audience. I got a little laugh out of that one. The last time he saw Jey, he eliminated him from the Royal Rumble. Gunther expected he'd have a word with him, but this is not the way to do it. This is a celebration, and Gunther is sensing some disrespect. And a yeet chant picks up. Jey says, there was no disrespect, Uso. He sees the work he's put in, 600 days as the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion in WWE history. Gunther says Jey is a very accomplished man himself. He's one of the most decorated tag team wrestlers of all time. He was a part of the best tag team in WWE history. He holds the record as the longest reigning tag team champions of all time. Gunther says Jey only had to put 50% of the work in. And as the crowd, they didn't yeet on that one. Gunther achieved all this on his own. Jey says Gunther is going to get 100% of this whooping. Jey says he was 1,000 plus days as a tag team champion and the first tag team to main event WrestleMania. It's 2024. If you want Jey Uso to be Intercontinental Champion, then he wants to hear the crowd say yeet. And so with that segment, it looks like that we're on the road for Jey Uso to get a shot at the Intercontinental Championship against Gunther at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. Oh my God, there I go again. At the Elimination Chamber premium live event. I think this could be a great match. I really think that Jey Uso could solidify himself as, you know, being the guy. I think he has more talent than Jimmy Uso. That's just me. He has the charisma, and he's just the ultimate hype man. Now, here's one thing, just one last thing that I want to talk about that was a good high point here on Monday Night Raw. It was the Sami Zayn interview. And earlier in the night, Jackie Redmond sat with Sami Zayn in the stands, and she asks, what is going through his mind and how much has to do with Drew McIntyre? Sami Zayn, he's had a really good year. He learned not to let the loss of Roman Reigns eat him up. And after the match, Triple H pulled him aside after the match and told him he had nothing to be down about. Zayn is Rocky, the ultimate underdog. Rocky didn't win the title in the first movie. Zayn will fight like an underdog every single night. It's life or death for him. Zayn is not an underdog, though. He's a contender who will be a champion. And then she asks if he still has something to do to prove that. Sami Zayn says he needs to prove it to himself and the people in the seats. It's proving they didn't get into him for nothing. Zayn will prove them right. And after when that happened, I became a huge Sami Zayn fan for him to possibly go up for the World Heavyweight Championship belt. Now, with Drew McIntyre, it looks like that this is what's going to happen. It looks like that they're setting up for a triple threat match between Drew McIntyre, Sami Zayn, and Seth Rollins. Now, if that does happen, then I don't know if WWE can have two triple threat matches in two different nights. I mean, it could happen. I don't know. But I just see that if they do one triple threat match, they're not going to have another triple threat match, even though if it's on separate nights. But I like it. And if Sami Zayn can get into the main event spot for WrestleMania and go up for the World Heavyweight Championship belt, that'd be great. And one thing that I listened in on for Monday Night Raw, they were mentioning qualifying matches for the women's side of the Elimination Chamber match. But where's the men's? I'm not hating on just having one women's Elimination Chamber match, but guys, it just doesn't feel right if there's no men's side of it. I don't know what WWE is going to do, but it looks like that we're possibly only going to be having one Elimination Chamber match, and that's for the women's side of it, and whoever wins gets to face against Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. Now, there really wasn't anything terrible. I mean, actually, fucking who am I kidding? Yeah, there were some terrible spots. The one thing that I just want to say is some of these women that are on the main roster right now, they shouldn't be on the main roster. There's probably a handful of talented NXT women superstars that are more deserving of the main event spotlight than Maxxine Dupri. And it was really hard to watch with this mixed tag team match. I really hope to God, like, dude, Maxxine Dupri seems like a lovely lady. She's a model. She's got a lot of other good things going for her, probably outside of WWE. Very good looking woman. I just don't think that she has what it takes to be a WWE women's superstar. Or a WWE superstar, sorry. Yeah, she has the looks, but I'm sorry, that's all that she has going for her. Do you know who she reminds me of? She reminds me of Kelly Kelly back in the day. And I was too young to even know if she could actually wrestle. I was just mesmerized by fucking Kelly Kelly's looks. I mean, come on, give me a fucking break. I was fucking 12 or 11 and I was going through puberty and hormones were going all crazy. I could give two shits if she could wrestle. Now, I'm a little older, a little wiser. I don't just look for the looks. I look for all around 100% superstar. And in my opinion, nobody will ever touch Sasha Banks. That's just my opinion. But Maxxine Dupri and the Viking Raiders girl, I forget her name. That shit was just awful. I think that they probably did a solid 3 moves in total that actually executed. But everything else in that match, it was very, very hard to watch. And the Alpha Academy, them two, Akira Tozawa and Maxxine Dupri, they need to stop fucking wrestling, be shown on TV. I would much rather see Otis and Chad Gable, because I think Chad Gable deserves a push because he has been doing nothing but anything that WWE asks him to do. And I don't want to get into it either, but with the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships, the Kabuki Warriors, they won against Chance and Carter. But even though that this match started off slow, the crowd, they weren't into it. This team, not the Kabuki Warriors, this team with Carter and Chance, they still have a lot of work to do. I don't know if it's that the two teams don't have chemistry together, but it just looked bad. It looked like everybody was not on the same page and their chemistry was way off. The crowd was not into it, so it didn't really help it. And even though that Pat McAfee and Michael Cole did whatever that they couldn't get everybody on board with this match. And as I say this, I'm going to keep saying this. I really, really, really feel very strongly that WWE needs to create a secondary mid-card title for the women's division, and that could probably save a lot of headaches with having their mid-card title as a tag team title for the women's division itself. Have it be, I don't know, the Netflix title. I mean, God forbid, please don't have it be the fucking Netflix title, but just something. Something that gets other female superstars in the main event spot, not just for the world heavyweight, the women's world heavyweight champion or the WWE women's champion. I mean, they need to do something and get more WWE women superstars involved. That's just my theory. That's my two cents on it. But with that being said, that's going to do it for me, guys. Thank you all very much for joining me here on the podcast, Pardon the Pipe Bomb. If you guys liked what you heard, please give me a negative 5-star review down in the comments section. Or if you guys really liked what you heard and it helps out the channel grow, leave a thumbs up down there. And also, hit that subscribe button if you're feeling generous today. But until next time, guys, there'll probably be more news out in this week coming up. And don't forget, I'm going to be hosting a live show pending that I don't work on Thursday. But if I don't work Thursday, I'm going to be hosting a live reaction on YouTube. So make sure that you're in the know and hit that subscribe button. So until then, guys, I'll talk to you guys later.